Good evening and welcome to 6 Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church and to our evening gospel service. We are delighted you're joining with us once again, and I do want to express our thanks for you taking this time to even be with us and to be part of our evening service. Let me just highlight once again that this Wednesday night at 8 p.m. is our prayer meeting and our Bible study here in the church, and we do extend to each one a very warm welcome, and we do encourage you to make that effort to come to study God's word and even to seek the Lord in a word of prayer afterwards. Now we're going to commence our service tonight with a piano piece, and we're delighted Sarah Fleming has been able to record this piece for us. Let me thank Sarah for playing that piece for us, and certainly it's been a blessing to our hearts once again. I invite you to open your Bible this evening in the book of Psalms, in the Psalm number 85 for our scripture reading. The Psalm number 85. We're going to take the time to read the Psalm together this evening. Psalm 85, we'll commence at the verse at number 1 of the Psalm. The Psalm is entitled "To the Chief Musician, a Psalm for the sons of Korah." The verse 1 of Psalm 85, "Lord, thou hast been favourable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps." Amen. And may God bless the reading of his precious word to each and to every heart for his own name's sake. I entitled our message this morning, as I highlighted and advertised both on our Facebook page and indeed in our morning service, "The Year the 12th Was Cancelled." The year the 12th was cancelled. Let's have a moment's prayer together, please, before we come to consider this passage together. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee, We come into thy most holy presence in and through the name and the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee and we rejoice in our Saviour. We rejoice that this is his day. This is a day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank thee, O God, that each and every Lord's Day, the first day of the week, we remember and we rejoice that our Saviour is alive. We serve a risen Saviour. We serve a living Christ. We thank and praise thee for this. We thank thee, O God, that he lives in the power of an endless life, and he ever maketh intercession for us even before his Father. We thank thee for the prayers of thy dear Son. We thank thee, O God, even now that he's praying with us, and he is indeed praying for us. Lord, we commit our time into thy hands this evening. We thank thee, O God, for the opportunity once again to have thy word before us, to open it up, and even to read it together. And even as we come to consider this passage and this topic tonight, O God, that thou wilt speak to each and to every heart, that thou wilt work, O God, and thou wilt break down the barriers, that thou wilt break up that ground within our hearts, and, O God, that thou wilt bring us on to thyself afresh. Lord, revive our hearts. Revive, O God, thy people in these days, even as we have read, that thy people may rejoice. O God, we pray for the unsaved, that in our community and even further afield, that souls will be saved, that backsliders will be restored, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come in mighty power through his Spirit, and that God will be evident in each and every community, in each and every village and townland, that wherever you go, that God's presence is very near and indeed very real. O Lord, work in us and work through us even tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 2020 has certainly been an eventful year. Right across the world, lives have been changed. The whole dynamic of society has been transformed. In every sphere of life, events, functions, festivities have been cancelled. The various special occasions in different countries, important to each individual, important to their heritage, their history, their culture, have either been delayed, cancelled for the year, or else changed indeed to an online format. That is applied indeed to our own country as well. Events that hold a special place to both sides of the community are not happening this year in the normal format. This particular weekend in the Northern Ireland calendar, as many are aware, is a special date for the Protestant community, both in Northern Ireland and indeed further afield. A time of the year when parades and demonstrations would be held right across the land, when thousands would march to remember the victory of King William of Orange at the Battle of the Boyne. But for the obvious health and safety reasons and for the community's safety, the decision was taken to cancel the normal festivities. And this indeed is the first time that I can remember in my lifetime that the 12th as a whole was cancelled. And as I was thinking about this, I began to wonder and I began to consider what other times in the past has the 12th of July been cancelled. According to various news articles in the last number of months, the 12th of July was cancelled or greatly restricted during the two world wars and also during the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918 and following. Now, my historical knowledge of the 12th does not go right back to the beginning, so I stand to be corrected if there are other times, so I cannot say how many times altogether over the many years that the 12th of July has been cancelled. But tonight I want to draw your attention to just one other occasion. One very special occasion when the 12th of July was indeed cancelled. The reason for cancelling the 12th of July that year was a very happy one. It wasn't because of wars or troubles. It wasn't because of a pandemic or any other disease. No, the reason for cancelling the 12th that year was revival. The year was 1859. Blessed year in our land and our nation's history. And a wonderful year of revival when God really did move in such miraculous ways right across our nation and even further afield. There are three things I want to highlight tonight in relation to it. I'm using this passage of Psalm 85, and I want to just bring 3 points to you. I want you to see, firstly, the verse number 2, the people that were exercised. The people that were exercised. The verse 2, it says, "Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all of their sins, Selah." You know, this psalm as a whole can rightly be viewed as a revival psalm. It is believed to have been penned in the aftermath of the Israelites' return to the land of Israel after their captivity in the land of Babylon. And what followed in that time, as the three different remnants came back, were times of revival, times of blessing. We think of the period whenever Ezra led that remnant back, and it's recorded for us in the book of Ezra how Ezra came back with that remnant. And the first thing that they did in Ezra 3 and 10, it tells us the builders laid the foundation of the temple for the Lord. In verse 11, it tells us they sang together by course and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Those men and women and the families, as they gathered together, as they returned to their nation once again, there was great joy and there was a great desire to worship the Lord, to set about placing even the foundation in the temple once again for sacrifice. The people had been dealt with. Their hearts had been changed. They were physically saved from their captivity in Babylon, but they were also spiritually saved as well. They had experienced salvation in their souls. They had experienced the forgiveness of their iniquity, even as it tells us in the verse number 2. There's no greater joy even to have in a person's life than to have realization and to have your sins forgiven. And to know that they're forgiven, to know that your iniquity has been blotted out, it's been covered in the precious blood of Christ. In 1859, over the course of that whole year, in Northern Ireland, there were over 100,000 people that were saved from their sins. It started in Kells outside of Ballymena. It spread throughout the province. Every county, towns, the countryside, the villages, the cities of our nation were affected by revival. Protestants and Roman Catholics alike were repenting of their sins and trusting in Christ for salvation. Factories were unable to function, mills were closed, printing presses were shut down, schools unable to teach their children, farmyards all without workers, because men and women, boys and girls, were under such deep conviction of sin, they were unable to go about their daily lives. The Orange men at that time, as the 12th of July neared, they recognized what was happening in their land was the work of God. And it was something that they couldn't bring themselves to interrupt. They realized that God was at work, that the Spirit of God was evident and was moving in so many hearts, that every time there was a church service where the gospel was faithfully preached, that men and women, boys and girls were coming to faith in Christ. And the Orange men took that decision: we cannot interrupt this. We cannot go about as if there is nothing happening. God is at work in our land. God is at work in our nation. And so they cancelled the 12th of July. The Ballymena Observer newspaper, in their Saturday, the 16th of July, 1859 edition, they quoted this: "One of the most remarkable and hopeful characteristics of the religious movement was displayed on Tuesday last, being the anniversary of King William's victory at the Boyne. The Orange men had resolved to observe the day as one of thanksgiving to God for the providential setting up and maintenance of civil and religious freedom, which all subjects of the realm, both Roman Catholic as well as Protestant, now so happily enjoy." See, it wasn't a forced cancellation. It wasn't a decision by the hierarchy of the Orange Order to take it. These were individual lodges. These were individual districts that took the decision that they wanted to cancel. And instead, they wanted simply to spend the day in praise and in worship of God and of Him alone. They decided themselves to set aside all festivities. all of the pomp of parade, all of the colors, the banners, the bands. All of those things were set aside to give all priority to worship of both God and of His Word. Let me ask the question this evening of each one who is listening. When was the last time that the priority in your life was God? When was the last time that the priority in your life were the things of God? Matthew 6:33, the Lord Jesus, as He's preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, He says the word, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." When was the last time Christ was first in your life? Have you ever sought the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever put Him as number one in your life? First commandment is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." Tell me, is God number one? Or what have you set up as a god in His stead? Yes, the celebrations of one's culture and heritage are important. They have their place, absolutely. But above even those things, the Lord must have the preeminence. In 1859, those men, they realized that nothing was more important than the spreading of the gospel and the salvation of souls. They willingly set aside their normal celebrations for the furtherance of the gospel. I want you to see, secondly, then, in the verse number 6, the praise that was expressed. The praise that was expressed. The verse 6, it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You know, in those days, in the book of Psalms, as this one is wrote to us, Israel were longing for and looking to the Lord for revival. They wanted that joy to come flowing through them. They knew that true, genuine revival brought forth much joy and gladness. Indeed, C.H. Spurgeon, writing on it, he said, "Joy in the Lord is the ripest fruit of grace, and all revivals lead up to it." He went on to say, "Revival brings the utmost joy. A genuine revival without joy in the Lord is as impossible as spring without flowers." We know that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. But I believe that there will always be joy also on earth at each soul that is saved, at each life that is transformed. There is joy to be experienced in the family setting. Whenever a mother, a father, or a son or a daughter comes to faith in Christ, that family, especially if it's a parent, that family is dramatically changed. The old ways of the father or the mother are changed dramatically, and it leads to a changing of the whole family setting. Priorities are adjusted. Those things of the world that potentially took up so much of the time are now set aside, and suddenly the book is open in the house. The Word of God is there. Encouragement is given even to attend the house of the Lord. There's joy in a family. There's joy in a church. And the lost of community are gloriously saved and washed in the blood of Christ. Whenever a community is dealt with by the Lord, and whenever the Spirit of God enters into a community, the drunkards are sober. The wife beaters, the husband beaters are dealt with in such a way that there's peace within families and within community. No longer are the uprisings or the upstarts of society, but rather men and women changed by God. Dealt with in such a way that joy comes, people rejoice. You know, in 1859, instead of the usual festivities, the Orange Men and many others joined together for worship and praise. Another newspaper by the name of the Banner of Ulster, also writing Saturday the 16th of July 1859, commenting on the 12th of July in Dundrod, they penned this: "The 12th was observed not as a holiday, but a holy day, which commenced, continued, and concluded in praise, prayer, and other religious worship." The brethren who met in Dundrod came to the hall with their Bibles in their hands. The Orange men from the surrounding district came in great numbers, without either music, banners, or any party badge. Ballymena Observer went on to say as well, on the 12th of July in Lone, near a Hockle, several lodges marched to the field, not as before to the sound of pipe and drum, but with sweet melody singing the praise of God. Around the field and in the adjoining ground, many groups were collected, singing praises. Order and earnestness, prayer and praise, the reading and the preaching of the word were the great characteristics of the day. You know the experience of each one that day on the 12th of July, 1859. The great experience of each one that day was joy. There was happiness evident on each and every face and in each and every heart. Indeed, it was described by those that attended that day as it being a pleasure to be there. You see, my friend, real joy is found in Christ. Real happiness is found in the Lord Jesus himself. 1 Peter 1 and the verse 8, it says, "Whom, having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing." Listen to these words. "Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." You know, Nehemiah described the joy of the Lord as being your strength. Some believe that other things are needed to give you joy. We have men and women in society, and indeed right across the world, and they try and find joy and happiness in many different crazes, many different pleasure ways. Let me tell you tonight, there's no joy that even comes close to the joy that is found in Christ. Some believe that you need the alcohol to give enjoyment. We see it in our own land. Both sides of the community, the various great celebrations that are had. Whether it be the 12th of July, whether it be St. Paddy's Day, whatever the occasion, for some, it's simply about drinking as much alcohol as you can. Consuming as much as is possible that day. And they believe that is how to make a great celebration. That is how to have great enjoyment in that occasion, that it's all about drinking alcohol and making merry. Oh, there's no joy in that. There's no real joy. There's no lasting joy. Yes, it may be joy for a season, but there's no lasting joy to be found in the bottom of a bottle. There's no joy to be found and the pleasure crazes of this world. We can jump from one thing to another, going around every new craze, every new fad that there comes. We can try each and everything. We might smile and have a good day. But that comes to an end. But the reality is, the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ gives, it's eternal joy. It's a joy that flows and fills our hearts. Every single day of our life, yes, there's still the troubles. I'm not denying that. Even Christians go through times of trouble, times of hardship. But there's a joy within our hearts that no man and no thing can take away. There's a joy to know of our sins forgiven. There's a joy to know that we've peace with God. There's a joy to know that our eternal destination, we have a home in heaven, and it's going to be in the presence of Almighty God forever. And when we get to heaven, then we'll be given even greater gladness and joy. I think of the words of Isaiah, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be their praise. They shall obtain gladness and joy." In other words, the joy that we're feeling in our hearts and our lives right now, knowing that we're the children of God. Well, whenever we get to heaven, we're going to be given even more joy. We're going to be given even more gladness. You think of how happy you can be in this life, and yet in heaven, it's joy upon joy upon joy. The world can't give that. The things of the world can't give that. You know, that day on the 12th of July, 1859, the joy that was evident, the joy that was being experienced in the hearts of men and women was being expressed through their praise. They couldn't just walk down the road to the meetings that day in silence. So it tells us in the reports that they proceeded to the meeting singing psalms of praise and thanksgiving along their way. The praise just was filling them and overflowing, that it had to be rendered, it had to be sung. Let me ask the question, have you ever experienced the joy of the Lord in your life? Is your heart full of praise tonight? Within you, are you full of joy, rejoicing, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ is my friend, I have one in heaven who loves me, and I have one in heaven that I will join? Or tonight, are you feeling empty? You've tried the broken cisterns, as the song says, but the water's failed. You've tried this world, you've tried this life to find your happiness, but yet it's all to be found in Christ. We not turn to Him? We not come to Him? We not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, for your peace, for your joy? The people, the praise. Then thirdly and finally, I want you to see the verse number 8. The peace that was enjoyed. The peace that was enjoyed. Verse 8, it says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people, to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. You know, peace is a wonderful blessing. To have peace with God, to hear Him speak words of peace to you, is a truly wonderful privilege. Not words of judgment. No words of wrath. No, the worst words that you'll ever hear the Lord speak to a man or to a woman is, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. My friend, if you ever hear those words from the Lord, it means you're condemned to hell forever. It means God has passed judgment on you and found you guilty. You're heading, destined to eternal torment. But yet, even as the verse says in the verse number 8, He will speak peace unto His people. Another, each one that has come, repented of their sins, and trusted in Christ for salvation, each one of those men, women, boys, and girls, the Lord speaks peace unto. As John 14:27, the Lord says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, peace with the Lord is wonderful. And there in 1859, many men and women right across the community were experiencing peace with God. And in turn, that led to a peaceable society. Newspapers at that time, they wrote of the 12th of July, there was not a single arrest for drunkenness, nor any reported charge of drunkenness made in Ballymena during the entire day and following night. Empty cells are easily guarded. The governor of the prison had a holiday. The article continues, the police reports from every district of the county tell of public tranquility. There was no drinking, no disorder, no provoking words, no offensive conduct. This is a glorious change. It is the work of God. The banner of Ulster paper for Dundrod on the 12th of July, or for the Dundrod 12th, it noted that the people returning after the day called it a strange 12th. For there was not an oath, not an insulting word, not a party expression was seen or heard throughout the whole day. There was peace everywhere. You know, that's the reality. An individual who has peace with God has peace in their heart. It's a peace that passeth understanding. It's a peace within that leads to a peace without. Whenever we have peace in our souls, whenever we have peace in our hearts, that peace that is there, that is settled, that has calmed us, then there's peace one towards another. You know, we all long for peace, both individually and nationally. What a wonderful experience it was in that year. The police and the courts had nothing to do. Cells were empty. No, many days during the year 1859, the courts didn't even sit. The judges had no rulings and no cases to judge on. My friend, the world can't accomplish that. Man can't accomplish that. Oh, we hear of the humanistic side of things and people say, oh, just be kind to one another. And if everyone just gets on, but here's the reality. Man can't get on with each other. The book of Job tells us that man is born unto trouble. Sparks fly upwards. The world can't accomplish it. Man can't accomplish it. But even as that newspaper said, it's the work of God that accomplishes it. 1859, the year the 12th was cancelled. The year God was at work in Northern Ireland. And oh, for a revival such as that once again, or even greater. Praise the Lord, the 100,000 souls that were saved in 1859 wasn't a cap. That wasn't Christ at his peak. That wasn't the highlight of the Lord's work. The Lord can save many more. I know for days ahead, I know that God, by His Spirit, will return in mighty power to this land. That lives will be changed. Protestant, Roman Catholic, Muslim, Hindu, atheist. Those that are seeking, they will find the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that God would come down. The Spirit of God would raise up a standard. The gospel of Jesus Christ would have such a preeminent place in people's minds and hearts that God would be given all of the praise and the glory. Trust the Lord will bless His word to each and to every heart. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. Do rejoice, O God, even in the history that we can look to and we can see that God has worked in this land before. We give Thee praise for it. We consider the many times of gracious revival that this nation of ours, this land of ours, has experienced. We think of 1859. Think, O God, of the early 1900s, 1920s with W.P. Nicholson. We think, O God, of the early days of the Free Church. And through Dr. Paisley and others, gracious revival was even experienced. And God's blessing came upon our land. And, O Father, our land today is barren and dry. And barren it shall remain until there's a sound of abundance of rain from heaven. O Spirit of God, descend upon our land once again. Blow through this land, we pray Thee. Come with such power that God is evidenced in each and every area. We think of the testimony of Duncan Campbell on the Isle of Lewis. He simply said, you met God in meadow and moorland. Oh, that we would meet God in our land once again. The fear of God, the reality of His presence would be such that men and women wouldn't be able to do anything but simply turn and repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in Christ. Oh, send us revival, we pray. Send us a glorious, glorious reformation. In Jesus' name, amen.